This is Remote But Not Restricted, a podcast from Sight and Sound Technology and the Thomas Pocklington Trust.
Hello and welcome into episode number 16 of Remote But Not Restricted, looking at institutional supports for visually impaired students. My name is Stuart Lawler, and on this week's show, we'll be meeting Victoria Alves, who's about to start her third level education at Trinity College Dublin.
We want to hear your voice. Email us today and have your say. podcast@sightandsound.co.uk.
Indeed we do. We always welcome your emails, podcast@sightandsound.co.uk. We got some great feedback, by the way, to our show 2 weeks ago, where we were speaking with Leanne Grillot and Jim Sullivan from the APH. And I was just looking at the webinars available from APH. There's so much good stuff. So if you want to check it out, make sure you go on their website, aph.org. Now, hope everybody is keeping safe and well. It's been 2 weeks since we've been with you. And certainly here in Ireland, there's an air of kind of, I guess the best way to put it is nervousness, because we've had to restrict movement of people in some counties in Ireland because of a slight upsurge, or well, in fact, in some cases, a pretty major upsurge in the number of coronavirus cases that were being reported, in particular, in meat plants. So everyone's a little bit, I think, on tender hooks here, because the big issue, of course, is still to get our schools safely open in about 2.5 weeks from now. And I think there's that kind of air of anticipation and expectation and people just keeping everything crossed that you can possibly cross in the hope that this will happen. So I hope wherever you are, that you're staying safe and well. Now, I have to say, this week's show, as you'll hear in a sec, is really, really nice, because it's the first time I got to do an interview on this podcast with someone who wasn't remote, because Victoria and I were actually able to sit down in the one room and have a great chat all about her life and her college journey, which she's about to start, and all that sort of stuff. So let me stop talking and let's bring Victoria in and get on with the show.
You're listening to Remote But Not Restricted, a podcast from Sight and Sound Technology and the Thomas Pocklington Trust.
Well, up to now, all the interviews I've conducted on the Remote But Not Restricted podcast have been remote for obvious reasons. We've all been working from home and we've been interviewing people thanks to the technology behind programs like Microsoft Teams and Zoom and a really cool piece of software that we use online called Zencast, and indeed a couple of others. But I'm delighted to be joined in person this time, first time on the podcast, by Victoria Alves. Victoria, welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you here physically.
It's great to be here.
So Victoria and I have been chatting a little bit about this interview, and we've just had some nice lunch and sitting down to have a chat all about what you've been doing over the last little while and what you're planning to do this year and that journey to start college as part of our Student Voice series. So before we talk all about you, how have you been during COVID? How was lockdown? And I suppose because in some respects we're still kind of locked down. How's that going for you?
I think after a while you get used to it, but at the start it was all a bit new and we were all kind of scared, and then it just becomes part of life and you're like, wow, well, you know, this is what it's like now. But with things starting to open back up, it's good. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go back a little bit, and maybe because you came to Ireland from Brazil, maybe tell us a little bit about that experience.
So I came to Ireland when I was 7, and when I came here I had no English, so I think that was a bit difficult. I don't remember. But like thinking back on it, I don't know how it works. I had no English. Nobody in the primary school I went to had Portuguese. So I think that was a bit of a learning curve for everyone.
It's tricky, right? Going to a school with no English, and you're living in rural Ireland in Longford, for people just to know. So it's about 2 hours from Dublin, maybe, or a little less.
Yeah.
So it's tricky coming to Ireland with no English into a school at 7. But hey, here you are totally blind as well. How did it work?
I had a visiting teacher, so I think she came around and sorted out all the Braille, because at the time I had just started learning Braille, and I think there was obviously different teaching methods, so I wasn't really learning a lot of Braille in Brazil, but when I came here I picked it up really quickly, and it was all good from then on, and I was learning English as well, and apparently after a year I was fine.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. I still, every time we talk, and I kind of think, wow, it's an amazing story. So, people are thrown in to learn Braille at that age, new school, new country, new language, and you just took it all.
Yeah, I think I had no other choice, to be honest, but at the same time, kids are very resilient and adapt and learn very quickly, so I think that I had an advantage that way as well, because I think if I came when I was older, it would have been more difficult to adjust and things.
So let's go fast forward to last year, around this time last year, I suppose. And I should add, by the way, that Victoria and I are friends and have been chatting away for a long time. And we were chatting this time last year, weren't we, about you, because you had just done your Leaving Cert.
Yes.
Final state exams here in the Irish school system, for anyone who doesn't know, might be listening in the UK or further afield. So you'd just done your Leaving Cert, and we were having these conversations about what you wanted to do and this idea of taking a year out. And tell us about maybe that, how you were going through that in your head, maybe.
I think for anyone finishing school, it can be a pretty stressful time. And, you know, with that, you're trying to study for exams and also figure out what you want to do, fill out applications and just make that big life decision. And it's like, well, I don't really know what I want to do. There's different degrees that's going to get me where I want to go, but what's the best way to go about it? And I think, you know yourself if you feel like you're ready for it or not. And I was a bit stressed, to be honest. And I just was like, you know, a gap year might be nice. I'll be able to, you know, travel and do volunteering, which was something I really wanted to do, and get to know the world a bit more before I actually went to college. Because I think life just starts picking up after that. You go and then you start work and you don't have time. So if you just got a year to do a bit of a breather, it can be really helpful, and it helps mature you, and you know.
It's really interesting, because the school system in Ireland, the exam system really hasn't changed in the last, 50 years, maybe longer, I don't know. Mm. I did my Leaving Cert 27 years ago this year. And it's virtually identical to yours in terms of how everything worked. And at that stage, we were complaining about it and giving out about it.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, when you were talking about the gap year, thinking, I would have loved to have maybe had the insights or the thought processes that you had at the time to go and do something like that. So I think it's a really interesting thing that you did. But tell us a little bit about, and obviously I know that COVID came along midway through your gap year and messed it up, but what did you get to do pre-COVID?
I went to Italy with, there's this company called CA Bull, and they are a touring operator, and you basically can go in groups or by yourself, and you basically like set up a holiday package and you go. So I went to Italy, and that was really fun. I got to climb Mount Etna, do wine tasting and loads of different things.
I'm very jealous.
I think I went for about a week, and that was really fun. I mean, it was my first time experiencing traveling on my own and getting assistance at the airport. So I think all that was really exciting. And then the most fun for me was getting to go to Canada and meet a friend, which, you know, that was like amazing. It was just a really good experience. And it is obviously a really long flight from, you know, Dublin to Canada, but it was worth it. And I honestly think the year was amazing, but yeah.
It sounds great. It really sounds like, you know, in some ways it sounds like something everybody should try and do, whether it's just before college or just after. But exactly as you say, when you finish college, you're starting to think about getting a job. Mm-hmm. So were you thinking during the year, in the back of your head, was there always the thought of, I need to sort of keep in the back of my head what course I'm going to do, where I'm going to do it? Or did you sort of just say, look, I'll worry about that near the time?
I think a bit of both. The year definitely gave me more time to research more in depth. I know a lot, like, people are saying, oh, you could do that when you're in school. You can, but you're not in the right mind frame to really sit down and think about it, like, too much, because you're busy studying. And I think some people just put down things on their CAO form, which is the application form for college, just to have something down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to, like, go into college and realize that this is not what I want to do and drop out, you know? So that was another reason, I think, why I wanted to take the gap year. But the year out, I think, gave me more time to, like, really sit down and look at the different modules you do and everything in more detail. And I, you know, started emailing professors and trying to get in touch with people who did the course and things like that. So all that was really helpful.
What was that? I was thinking about this, actually, when I was thinking about the interview this morning, and one of the things I wanted to ask you was, what was that process like, kind of getting, because it's not something I did, because I didn't really, I wasn't as organized as you, but to kind of think, to contact the colleges, look, you know, seek out the information. Was it provided for you in an accessible format? Was it readily available? Was it easy to get responses? You know, was it a positive experience?
Yeah, it was really positive. I mean, last year I went around to the colleges, but definitely this year I had more time to, like I said, research more in depth. But, you know, basically if you get in touch with the disability office, they will do whatever they can to help you. But also, Google is great. So if you just Google the course you're going to do, there's going to be underneath staff and, you know, people you can contact. So you just email them and they'll get back to you with whatever questions and, you know.
So you were emailing just the, I don't mean just, but you were directly emailing, let's say, the lecturers and not just the disability staff. You were going right to the source.
Yeah, to the director of the course or something. Excellent. Like that, whoever is on the page, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll obviously be able to give you more insight. And, you know, I could have done these things last year, but I honestly didn't think of it. That's the thing, when you have more time to kind of, to yourself, to reflect on things, you know, you realize, oh, I could actually do this and be more organized. But when you're in school, all you're thinking about, obviously, is finishing and doing your exams and,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you contacted people, you got the information you needed, you made some decisions, and now you're at the point of preparing to go to college. So what's happening?
Well, first of all, you know, I applied for accommodation on campus, and getting all that sorted. I think all universities have a different process, but it's easy enough to do. And as I said, I spoke to the professor, so he'll kind of know me when I get there, which is kind of nice. And then I think it's just like any other student, you know, getting all the things you need for college, and like if you need to get plates and just like random things like that, which is, it's really exciting. Wine. I know it sounds like small.
Wine glasses?
Yeah, wine glasses, pint okay. Glasses.
Okay, so you're going to Trinity College.
Yes.
Okay, so how is the, because we're living in strange times, and as we record this podcast, unfortunately, part of the Midlands in Ireland have gone into lockdown again, and there's a huge degree of uncertainty, and I mean, we're here in the second week in August, whether or not, who knows what we'll be like at the beginning of September.
Mm.
How are you planning, or have you thoughts around things like mobility training, and are they things that are being worked on for you or with you?
There are things that we are looking at, definitely, but it's with, you know, us not being able to move on to phase four, which would allow everything to be open and more people to be in contact. I can't really do any mobility training in person at the moment. So I think that's going to be put on hold for at least the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of things like, I suppose, and you probably don't know this yet, whether you're going to be on campus all the time or there'll be some online, be it both, you know, some face-to-face. Some
I think different universities have different approaches to it. But Trinity, they said that they're going to try and have as much face-to-face as they can, but basically big lectures are going to be online, and then everything else, if they can, is going to be in person.
Yeah, and I suppose in things like small tutorials, they can put them in a slightly bigger room and just get people to social distance.
Yeah.
How has the experience, I know, and we've been talking earlier today about technology, but that experience of just kind of trying to find the right technology for going into college for you?
I've obviously this year, like I said, I have more time, so I got to like tune into different webinars and things. And then you realize how much technology is out there. And I think it's like about finding which one is right for you. But there's so much out there that it's like, it's, you just have to sit down with it all and just kind of make a list of the pros and cons for each and pick one that best suits you. So yeah.
Well, you're doing the right way, and you're going about it the right way. What advice would you give maybe people who might be listening, who might be going into, say, they're leaving cert year now, who are, and I know we're all in very uncertain times, but people starting in their leaving cert year, hopefully going to do the exams and get to where you are this time next year, would you say anything to people today?
I definitely think just remember to just breathe and like remember that the leaving cert isn't just the answer to everything, and that there is more to life than, you know, that particular route of getting to university. There's different ways of getting to where you need to be, and it's important to try and do as much research as you can and just take time for yourself as well, because I know studying is important, but you have to take care of yourself and just figure out exactly what you want to do and what will make you happy, you know, because obviously, you know, it's important to get a degree and get into university, but if you're not in the right mind frame of actually getting in and doing the work, because you can, you know, go to university and have fun and do the work as well, you know, a happy medium, but you just, there's the right mindset for that. So just make sure to take care of yourself.
Mind yourself. Yeah. Okay. It reminds me of a story I remember talking when I was doing my leaving cert on a bus, actually, one time. I was coming home from school on the bus, and I met a lady who we just got chatting, and it turns out she was a teacher in a secondary school as well. Mm. And I was saying to her, you know, I'm doing my leaving cert. And she was saying, she said, Stuart, I will say to you that nothing you ever do after this will be as stressful in terms of exams. She said her finals in college, to quote her, because I still remember this, were like a walk in the park compared to her leaving cert. And I think that's because everybody knows about it and it has such a big profile. Mm. And the system, you know, probably needs a little bit of work to make it a little better. And hopefully that will happen. But I think getting through it, and as you say, you know, minding yourself is key.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, I think what I was just thinking about this the other day. At the time, it's like you're in this bubble and you don't realize how much stress you're under and like how much work you're putting into everything until you leave school and you sit back and you realize like, wow, I actually went through all that and I did all that and I'm okay now. But it's just, you know, you're in a bubble where people are telling you, oh, this is really important, which it is. But, you know, you don't realize how like stressful it can be and how just much it can impact you until you, you know, leave and you sit down and you're like, wow, that was, you know, that was something else.
Like, wow, how did I get to this point? Right, listen, Victoria, it's been so nice to chat to you. Actually, really nice just to hear your story, hear where you are now, and to think about the really exciting future you have ahead in Trinity College. I know it's going to be fantastic. I know you're going to do great. So I maybe we'll catch up with you again next year. Find out how year one has been.
Yeah. Yeah.
But best of luck for the moment, and thanks a mil for talking to us.
Thank you.
Many thanks to Victoria Alves. I thoroughly enjoyed catching up with Victoria. We always have interesting chats, and it's so nice to hear that she had that year out and just got time to kind of think and travel a little bit and maybe do things that she would have never had the opportunity to do otherwise. So thoroughly enjoyed the chat. Thanks, Victoria. And we're definitely going to stay in touch with Victoria and find out how she's getting on through her first year in Trinity College in Dublin. That's just about it for this week. Stay safe and stay well. We'll be back with you next week. Until then, from everybody at Sight and Sound Technology, this is Stuart Lawler saying goodbye and thanks for listening.